Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have you back. Yep, you've been just listening to us like there two, three, four, what is it, Jacob, 5 minutes ago, something like that.
Yeah, third show of the day.
Time flies when you're having fun, though, right? That's what it is. Welcome back if you were with us. If you have not, I want to welcome you to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. What I'm loving is this is a big change day for me. Maybe not for everybody. I think Jacob too. And what did I mean by that? Well, traditionally, we have been in the 10 a.m. to 11 o'clock spot pretty much Monday through Friday since 2004. Today is the first day I'm still in the 10 to 11 spot and probably will be, but we started a 7 a.m. show. And we started that show on Transformation Talk Radio, but also on our syndicated Seattle channel. So that was an interesting day and an interesting morning for me. And I always like to prepare for the show. So I'm always reading the books and I'm always getting ready. Like, for example, Samantha Fay, who's joining me here today, right? The author of what we're going to talk about today, The Awake Dreamer. I love this. Lucid dreaming, astral travel, and mastering the dreamscape. Now, why do I love this? Because you all have heard me talk about a little bit of my childhood, right? Not a whole lot. But part of what I did as a kid and still do it now is what we call daydreaming. Little did I know that the traditional version of daydreaming was not thought of as something that was revered by people. It was not. It was, if you're a daydreamer, you're pretty much a loser. And now I look back at that now, and especially when I think about the message Samantha's bringing to the forefront, who also reminded me that I was on her podcast and she was on my show, and she doesn't look like she changed a bit. I don't know if I had blonde hair then, but here we are today and we're reconnecting. But here's the question I wonder, and I'm going to ask her to perhaps talk about. Because when you think about the awake dreamer, one, if you're a child, that gets you into therapy really quickly. That and me thinking I was Elvis, that got me in Dr. Jacoby at age 7. That right there. But what have we learned? And what do we know about children, adults? It doesn't matter. People that we call our senior population that are now allowing themselves to be themselves, right? Can we learn how to use a dream state? And we're going to hear what that is from her, to expand their consciousness, to reach out to loved ones in heaven, and to use this state to realize your soul's potential. Because if you listen to any of my shows last week, and I'm just going to say this for Samantha, for FYI, you heard me talk about the insidious nature of doubt and how it creeps into things. And you also heard me talk about before I went to bed as a child, I used to create my dream before I went to sleep. I used to create a warrior team. And there was very good reason. But today, what if you heard today that you have the potential to manifest your soul's potential based on what Samantha Fay has beautifully put out there in her fabulous book, The Awake Dreamer, A Guide to Lucid Dreaming, Astral Travel, and Mastering the Dreamscape. Samantha, it's great to have you. Welcome, welcome, welcome again. Welcome again.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be back. It's only been 10 years, I think.
It's like a blink of an eye, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm coming up on 20 years and I just can't even believe it. It's like, people seem like, you're not having fun anymore. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? Like, where? Where am I not having fun? Exactly. I have a ping pong table and a robot in my garage. Hello, I'm having fun. But I wanted to talk with you about this because, first of all, I love the book. I think it's very difficult. Okay, so this is my projection, probably not your projection. But we have to take this topic. And I know this is not new to you, but we have to take this topic and we have to put this in the hands of people that are living their lives every day. Now, right. Why am I saying that? Because when I think about my life, I think about if I had three words, you could tell I've been being interviewed a lot. Somebody said to me, give me three words to explain your life. And I said, easy, despair to destiny. Right?
Love it.
And I said, but I can't explain the hows. In your book, The Awake Dreamer, I want to ask you to share with people. You see, you can't write a book like this unless you've not been awake at some point in your life. I'm not saying that's you, but I'm just saying, like, usually when you write a great book like this, you write it because you learned something.
Right.
What did you learn?
Well, I think that there are many forms of being awake. Do you know what I mean? So I've been through several spiritual awakenings. I've always had really wild and crazy and wonderful and meaningful dream experiences, even as a kid. But I think what I discovered throughout my life of being intuitive and sensing things about people that, you know, I felt like, why do I know that? How do I know that?
Yeah.
It always was easier to tell people things I was picking up if I said, I dreamt this. I noticed that if they hear you had a dream, you mentioned doubt before. If it happens in a dream, people are much more apt to accept it. And for people themselves to have dream experiences, I've noticed that, like, if you lose a loved one, it's terrible and it's grief-stricken and it's awful. And so many people will go to therapy, which I think is a fantastic thing to help you get through grief. But Dr. Julie Bushell at the Winbridge Institute, she's been doing research into people who are grieving who go to a medium and a grief therapist. And her research is showing that their grief exponentially is off the charts in terms of learning to deal with it and carry it a little bit better. So I do think there are outlets for our grief, but there's nothing better than having a dream visit of your very own with a loved one. And I've talked to people all over the world. I've heard from my listeners who have had these experiences in their dreams, and they'll say, Samantha, this was not a dream. You know, I held my grandmother's hand, or I was able to hug my father one more time. And so I think there's something magical happening in some of these dream experiences. Not all. I think some dreams are just dreams. You know, you walk past a unicorn in a forest. That's a metaphor.
I agree. And, you know, yet I'm really struck by the journey you take people on in really exploring this. And I think in the very beginning, I don't hold me to where it is, but you come out of the gate and you say something like, dreams can help us solve problems. They can reduce stress. It can inspire creations, right? And I think you went on and talk about an experience then in the 1990s as well. And I love that we do that. The thing that I was always fascinated by was, I got to tell you, as early as 7 years old, I would not go to bed without creating the dream I was about to have. Now, is that weird? No. What I mean is, I would, before my eyes shut, I had this entire array of champions. I was a comic book freak kid. So every comic book, every horror story, I mean, I don't know why that was me, but anything that had to do with the supernatural at 7 years old, I was all about. So at night, I would just line them up. Now, What is it about that that still to this day is so powerful? One, I didn't have anybody tell me I was crazy and doing it, right?
That's good.
It came close though. But from your perspective, we have to unleash our imagination here. I think it's time.
I do too. One of my passions is learning to reframe the definition of the word imagination.
Thank you.
There's a pretty famous story Napoleon Hill tells. You know, he wrote Think and Grow Rich and all. And he talks about how he got so many of his ideas for his inspiring books in the dream state. And he created this dream team. And it was all men that he admired and looked up to who had passed away. And so he would fall asleep at night doing exactly what you're talking about. He would put, I think it was like Andrew Carnegie and Abraham Lincoln, you know, like all these men he looked up to around this imaginary conference table. And he would tell them his problems, his ideas, his writer's block, things like that. And then he would just imagine them giving him answers and responses as he fell asleep. And he said that this often led to fantastic dreams that gave him aha moments. And so he wrote, you know, his wonderful, wonderful books, and he was taking a break for a while, and he had a dream that Abraham Lincoln came to him and said, "What happened to our committee meetings? We really miss seeing you." So maybe something more really was happening, right?
And you know, part of this too is, you know, you bring some depth, so much depth and knowledge into what you're talking about. I mean, you know, you've been mentioning some, like you mentioned Frankenstein in the book, and you know, I just wanted to be her. What was it like writing that book? You know what I mean? The heck with Frankenstein. Who are you? Who are you, the author? Who are you that wrote that? Right. See, this is me. Like, I'm like, I want to meet with, of course, I want to meet you. So I would imagine the author and what that was like. Now, most of us will look at our lives and we'll try to take a snapshot of how can I embrace what Samantha's talking about. How can I embrace this? And how do I use it today? And I think that's what your book does. I mean, you talk about premonition dreams. You talk about so much. And yet, I can read this. I could hand it to my best friend and 10 other people, and they will get it. I would love to hear from you about how important this idea of awake right now is to the world.
Well, I think it's very, very important. And I think what we have to do if we want to become co-creators with our dreams is to look at what we're doing during the day. You talked about earlier daydreaming. Science is starting to show now how daydreaming is really a crucial aspect of our day in terms of letting cortisol go, releasing stress, and feeling more relaxed and awake and tuned in. And yet, so often we don't give ourselves that time to daydream because we're on TikTok or in meetings or on checking emails or on Zoom, or we're distracted constantly. And so giving yourself that time. And then you mentioned Frankenstein. Well, you know, Mary Shelley was on vacation with, you know, all her little buddies, including Lord Byron, the little fun person he is to research. And they had this contest, you know, who could create the best horror story. And so she thought about it all day. And when she went to sleep that night, she dreamt basically the outline of Frankenstein. And so it just goes to show, if you want to be an awake dreamer, it doesn't just happen at night. It's what you're doing during the day. It's what you're thinking about during the day. It's what you're asking for during the day. I do think there's a mystical component to this, but I also think it's aspects of the subconscious that we don't fully understand. If you ask your subconscious mind a question that it does not know the answer to, it kind of freaks out. And so it's going to go into hyperdrive trying to find you an answer. And if it can't get you that answer during the day, it's going to deliver it to you at night. And at night, I just feel like our defenses are down. Obviously, we're relaxed because we're sleeping. And so we're much more apt to be in a receptive state for these amazing experiences, whether it's meeting with a loved one in heaven or a precognitive dream, or having an idea for literature, an invention, all sorts of amazing insights.
And you mentioned Jung in the book. You mentioned Jung in the book. And I love that you mentioned Jung in the book, because there's a letter that Carl Jung wrote in response to Bill Wilson, where, and it was in the 60s, I think, 61. And he, it was the only letter of its kind that I was able to find where Jung said, I should have done more. I didn't do more. I should have done more and talk about spirituality in the way I really wanted to. I mean, it was fascinating to read it. But, you know, you take this even a couple of steps, at least 100 steps further, where you allow us to look into the world of dream visitations. Let me start with that. Because sometimes we will get insights, like you mentioned, answers, right?
Right.
In a dream, and it could be from a loved one. But our go-to is to get afraid, right? Yes. You know, when you look at some of the research that people say, my father came to me in my dream and I was scared, right? But if we knew what you're writing in here, if we could understand that when we ask a question, there are so many ways that the answer is trying to get to us. And this is one of them, right?
Yeah, it's just one of them. But I do think it's one of the most special because you know, death is very, very final. And when you're able to see them again, it is incredibly healing and it's a gift. I have found, now this isn't always true, you know, nothing is 100%, but across the board, there tend to be some rules for our loved ones visiting us in the dreams. And I think that's because if they were able to visit us in a dream whenever we wanted them to, or whenever they wanted to, we might not actually heal or learn how to process our grief. But when something really important is happening in our life, they will often pop in for a visit to let you know, hey, this is coming up, you need to pay attention. Or if we're just going through like a dark night of the soul and we're feeling very, very sad, often we'll have a dream visit with our loved one to let them know that it's going to get better. Sometimes our loved ones visit us in dreams because they need our help. I have a story in the book of my grandmother appearing to me in a dream. And she said she was having a hard time with her life review process and needed our prayers. And so I woke up and I wrote it down and I called my family and I asked everyone to pray for her. And 2 weeks later, I had another dream. It was the same exact type of dream where I got out of my bed and I walked to the living room. But this time she looked beautiful and radiant and she was glowing and she held my hands. She didn't touch me in the first dream. I feel like that's something they have to learn to do. I've heard that a lot. But she held my hands and she said, thank you, your prayers helped. And she just dissolved into a tube of light and went up through the, went right up through the roof of the ceiling.
And you know, in the book, I think there's something you call keeping the door open.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you're talking about that. You know, keeping the door open, I think to paraphrase it, is talking about the concepts that our loved ones can visit us. And you know, and I think you're right about how important this is. And yet it's so important for people listening today to see that that's an option for them. Right?
Once you see what I mean? It's an option, then that does crack the door open at least.
Yeah. I want to just tell everybody, for those of you tuning in, and I'm just going to open up the phone lines for those of you out there. If you want to have a chat with Samantha Fay, 1-800-930-2819. We're talking about her latest project, her latest book, The Awake Dreamer, A Guide to Lucid Dreaming, Astral Travel, and Mastering the Dreamscape. This is, for me, our pop culture is finally caught up to you. Now, here's where I'm going. If you look at the inventory of TV series, whether they're limited series through a Netflix or a cable series or whatever the series is, or films coming out, you will see that they touch upon the things you have in here. And you know, people say to me, well, how do you know? Well, okay, look at the popularity of Sandman. Hello, right? I mean, come on, this is a limited series. It was so popular. They had to add like a part two to it. Netflix had to add to a part two to it. And yet it's something that people relate to. I wanted to ask you about talking about how people listening, people that think they're average, people that don't think they're like other people, how they can manifest and create through what you have in the book, because you include a list in the book. And everybody knows the inventors after they invent something. But before they invented stuff, they were just people. But they got famous because they invented something, right? And you talk about this. And yet people that I speak with, some of the listeners call in, they say, talk about the reality of astral travel for me. And yet we may be doing it, we don't know we're doing it. But you're bringing it all together. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, I do think that, first of all, a lot of people have asked me, you know, oh, you know, do you feel special or do you have a gift of dreaming? And I really kind of, no. First of all, no. Second of all, we all dream, you know, we all dream. And it determines how you dream based on your beliefs and any blocks you might put up, you know? So for example, if you have a lot of religious beliefs against this, I have a lot of good friends who have very strict religious views, and they believe that their loved ones are sleeping until, you know, Jesus comes and wakes them up. And I completely honor and respect that. And, you know, I could be wrong. Maybe that's true. But I think once you have these dream experiences, you realize that something more is going on. And it is not for anyone who is special or gifted or an inventor or anything like that. Anyone can have these experiences. It's about opening up your mind to it. And that's what the book is aimed to do. There's research in there. There's a little bit of science in there. I'm a former English teacher, not a science teacher, but I did do a lot of research to help back up the stories that are in the book. And there's a lot of exercises in there. If you simply intend to dream, if you talk about dreaming, if you record your dreams, if you just wake up and don't move a muscle, and just try to let your dreams come to you, just fall into your consciousness, you'll have a much better chance of remembering them. Now, sometimes you're not going to be able to do that, right? I'm the mom of three. There were years where I was woken up, you know, like at 4 a.m. by someone crying, Mom, I did not remember my dreams those nights. So it's not going to happen every single day. But if you just set the intention, I am going to become a better dreamer, a more consistent dreamer, and you start writing them down. If you just have one friend, because let's face it, nobody wants to talk about their dreams and nobody wants to hear about their friend's dreams, right? You call up your friend, how are you doing? Oh, I had the most amazing dream. Okay. But if you find one friend who likes to talk about dreams. I love to talk about dreams. I love to hear about people's dreams, but I learned not everyone is like that.
No. I have a best friend that does, right?
Helpful?
Yeah. 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 I mean, if you call somebody and say, hey, I like talked about my dream, they say their answer is, you're going to put it on Facebook? No. Right? Yeah, because right. That's like, but it's so important. And the way that you've crafted this book, and you certainly the body of work that you do, is built around the idea of helping people not just understand, but also to understand in a way that will enable them to take action, that will enable them to have a different perspective. You also didn't leave out nightmares. And, you know, I think one of the things you put in the book is like 25% of children from ages with like about 5 to 12 or something. 20, that's a large number.
Yeah.
And then older people as well. And I'm not surprised why. One of the most popular ever horror film series outside of Jaws, Nightmare on Elm Street. Everybody knows Freddy. Now, somebody said they're going to resurrect, and I'm thinking, don't. That Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, honestly, I put a light under my bed for about a year.
You know that he got that idea from a true story?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there is a group of young men who all died in their sleep, and it's a whole nother show, but yeah.
But you see, and there's something so realistic about that, but you cover this and you talk about nightmares and you help us understand why we might get them. PTSD. I certainly think a lot of it comes from everyday fear in life. You know, fear, doubt, anxiety, whatever it is. You know, you open up your bank account and it's got negative 300 or something. You know, and whatever that manifests, you also talk about the low energy and the energy vampirism of this. And yet, it's a small part it's not a big part. Even 25% is considered, you know, it's hefty, but it's a small part, but it gets so much attention.
Yeah, I think as it should, because it's a way for our subconscious to kind of knock on our door and say, hey, there's something you're not paying attention to.
Thank you.
One of my favorite stories was this man had written about how he had this constant nightmare that someone was chasing him. So he started to learn a little bit about lucid dreaming so that he could, you know, heal this recurring nightmare. So he learned to lucid dream. He's running from this person chasing him, as he'd been doing for a good chunk of his life. And finally, he becomes lucid in the dream state, and he turns around to face the man who's been chasing him all these years. And it's him. It's himself. And so himself says to the dreamer, thank God you stopped. Hold on. I just have to get this off of us. And he kneels down, and the dreamer sees that there's like a ball and chain. I think it was labeled like fear or something around his ankle. And he unhooks it and he says, okay, now we're good to go. So nightmares are so terrifying. And I'm sure you remember yours from when you were a kid. I know I can still remember mine. And it's the feeling most that you remember when you wake up from a nightmare. But sometimes I do think something else is going on in those spooky dreams. I think sometimes there is, you know, we've got the hag syndrome. There are stories through the years of some type of psychic vampirism happening. Some people think shadow people are possibly, you know, taking our energy while we sleep. We don't know, but I think it's important to explore and research and give voice to.
I do too. And, you know, part of this too is I'm glad to see you getting out there. I'm glad to see you doing events again, and you have a really cool one coming up. I want to just take a minute, if we could, before we go to break, tell people how they can find out more about you, but also let's tell, they've got to see the cover of this book. They have, and you know, you should have like a contest, like on interpreting the cover of the book, right? Jacob, I think, is putting pictures up on the streaming video version of it. I mean, it's got to be like, I looked at the cover and I'm like, okay, I think this is this, and I think this is okay, but I'm not going to spoil it. How do people find out about you, but how do they get a copy of the book, and how do they come to see you in person?
Thank you so much. So you can find me at samanthafey.com. It's F-E-Y. And I've got, I'm teaching a Be Your Own Psychic webinar in October. And then in November, I think it's November 5th and 6th, I'm going to be at the Edgar Cayce ARE conference teaching about psychic tools like psychometry and pendulums and all sorts of great stuff. And you can find the book anywhere books are sold. So you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, or at your local bookstore. If it's not there, you can always ask them to order it, because I love to support independently owned bookstores too.
I do too. When we come back, here's what we're going to do. There's so much I could talk with you about, but I want to get to some of these other things. I want people to get a sense of how you bring this all together, because I do believe this, right? Now, people think I'm from another planet, so I'm just going to say anyway. I don't know what they think about you, but they definitely think of, but here's what I really, this is my desire. If we understand the innate power we have in this arena, the arena of your book, The Awake Dreamer, if we understand just what you described in lucid dreaming, astral travel, and mastering the dreamscape, then you can imagine a life where you don't worry about the stresses in life. You're not agonizing over the job you don't have, the romance you wish you did, the money that's in somebody else's bank account, not yours. The fact that you think you're going to die young. And I did, because there was no women in my family that lived. I'm not kidding. I went through this period. It was like no women in my family were living that. They didn't even get to 50. And then every mentor I had passed away very suddenly. So I had created a whole lot of thing, and I had to ask for help in my dream around this. And I got help. Wow. When we come back, you're going to hear what astral travel is and how you can use this today. Because what Samantha has done is she's opened up a door for all of us. And this is the way to create what I call a mega shift. Immediately. And if you're a daydreamer like me, and it showed up in your performance reviews, get yourself a daydreamer badge or a hat or a t-shirt. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about the power. We're going to talk about how we can create this change like now. Let's take.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, Clare-ity.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Too many people go too long forgetting their true soul purpose. Join me, Gina Gale Gray, every fourth Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific in Savvy Solutions. Take the journey back to me with a freedom coach and oracle on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find your soul oceans now in my show. Learn how you can release the wall around your heart and follow your emotional being back to connection and compassion. Visit AnywhereMindBodySoul.com.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. My very special guest, Samantha Fay, joining me here today. Look, there's a lot of things that I know I want to talk about, but I will say that, you know, I grew up as a kid. So here's what I want to do. I want to make sure people, first of all, know to go to get the book. They could go to your site and it's like pops up right there and it's like a pre-order thing, right? Right. Samantha Fay, Fey.com, right?
Yes.
You will be, Jacob, did you see the cover of the book, Jacob? I hope you're putting it on the Facebook
thing. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh, my God. It's just like, I'm like, whoa. Okay. But then The Awake Dreamer, and I'm like, man, what relief you get when you read a book like this and you think that most people in your life somehow told you you're crazy, that you have a short attention span, and they'll go on. That you're ADD, ADHD, because here you are, you're doing this. We're going to talk about lucid dreaming. And yet, there's nothing wrong with you. Right, Samantha?
Right.
There's nothing wrong with you. Yeah. And what I want to do is I want to just spend the rest of the show talking how you beautifully bring it all together. Everything from healing dreams. And I just shared a little bit about the message I got from Olivia Newton-John after her passing. And I thought she knew I was second guessing myself. You don't get a message like that unless something's going on, right? She knew that there was something going on with me around doubt, right? Sometimes we'll get dreams and messages, even if we don't ask for a solution at a verbal, explicit level. Talk about how we bring these all together. You know, the awake dreamer, astral travel. How do we bring these all together? Because they're all powerful.
I think the first thing is recognizing that sometimes something special is happening when you are sleeping. That I believe our soul is traveling outside of our body. And sometimes during that experience, we can become lucid, meaning we can become aware that we are dreaming. And sometimes it can be just a metaphorical experience. Like, for example, I bet a lot of your listeners have had the experience of like kind of flapping their wings and suddenly they're flying and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm flying. And they're aware that they're dreaming. They're aware that they're flying in this dream. And I think that's a very common dream that is lucid and that is there to let us know you can soar so much higher than you think. Astral travel is something that you can do during the meditative state. I think Robert Monroe and the Monroe Institute is, you know, one of the best resources for learning how to do that with your and during your day. But I think that at night, so many of us are astral traveling unconsciously or, you know, not at will. It's just happening. And I think that if you ever had that hypnagogic jerk where you fall asleep and then you kind of jerk awake, I think that's our soul kind of coming back into our body. And, you know, science has shown that our consciousness kind of fights ourselves falling asleep because it's always trying to keep us safe. And our consciousness loses a little bit of control when we sleep. So that's sometimes, I think, why our soul gets, you know, yanked back into that hypnagogic jerk. But to me, that's evidence that our soul is actually leaving our body many, many nights when we sleep. And there are so many phenomenal things. It's not just precognitive dreams. It's not just lucid or astral dreaming. But there are stories of people who are going to, I have a whole section of my experience in an astral school, but there's also many well-known authors and researchers and doctors and highly prominent figures who have talked about going to a form of school on the other side. And so I think just something much more is happening when we are dreaming. Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of labels. You know, you can call it lucid, you can call it astral, you can call it soul travel, awake dreaming. I really don't care what you call it. I think the key is recognizing that something is happening to us when we are sleeping that's not just resting our body.
And that can include, like you talk about in your book, emotional healing.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that I think that we don't talk about enough. You know, the mind tends to take up a lot of the conversation. And yet at the same time, some of these experiences, while they give us insight, there are others that may really be healing. And it's like the like you described earlier. But
yeah,
this is so important, isn't it?
I think it is, because you can have dreams. There are so many people have reported dreams where they're either conversing with loved ones or their guides or an angelic being. Or people that are still alive and well here on Earth. So I do think we can have soul-to-soul connections on the other side.
Yeah.
People have dreamt of meeting their future spouse before they actually meet them. I think those stories are just wild and amazing. I had a very emotional healing dream experience. I have a very interesting relationship with my mother. She can be a little difficult. And I had this dream where she and I were sitting, I call it my Oceanside Cafe dreams, because I have these dreams all the time where I'm just sitting at this table and the ocean is behind me and I'm at a little cafe. And so my mother is sitting across from me and she said, how is it going for you? And I said, it's going all right, Mom. And she said, when you asked me to incarnate as a thorn in your side, I agreed because I knew it would help your soul's growth so much. But I have to be honest, this is really hard for me. And that dream was just so eye-opening, because it's always been difficult having my mom as a mom because she just has a very difficult time showing love. And having that experience really helped me realize, oh, you know, this is actually to help my soul. I mean, before the break, you were saying, like, you know, you can use your dreams so you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to carry burdens. While that can be true, I do think we're here on this earth to have worries and to have anxieties and to have stressors and to deal with worrying about our bank. You know, I think we're here to do that. This is the marathon. You know, when we're on the other side, we can train for the marathon. But while we're here on earth, we're here to learn lessons, and it's not always going to be beautiful and easy and wonderful. And having those dream experiences are so healing, because it shows you there's a purpose behind even some of the most painful things in your life.
Yeah, my mom was just masterful at that for us, for the girls. I mean, you know, she would talk about it in only the way she could, basically just the way you described it, always positively, you know, with this really beautiful Southern drawl. and would talk about and laugh about. At the same time, she would talk about life's lessons, just kind of laughing and chuckling a little bit, you know. And she used to say things like, girls, would we love Marilyn Monroe if she'd had an easy life? I mean, she would say things like that, but yet would say them in a way that we kind of smile at it and could take it in, as opposed to you just killing time until you die. I had a friend whose mom would say that to her. Honey, you just can't. She's like, what does that even mean?
Way to look at life.
Oh, my God. But, you know, part of this is understanding the many ways you're bringing this to us. You know, I get a little bit stuck on lucid dreaming because that's been my journey. That's the thing that put me in therapy at a very young age. It's the thing that got me landed as a daydreamer. It's also the thing that gave me a very high corporate rating as a professional, a manager, and an executive. But they would always have this other line. This was like in my real performance review that said, blah, 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 great ideas, great. And we think she's from another planet. Now I understand that is a compliment, so I don't really have a sidebar about it. But when we bring it all together, we are bringing together our ability to really address so many things we think we are unable to address. You see what I'm saying? We get up, we go to work, we do this, we do that, we grunt the day out. And if we could realize that what you're presenting to us are some powerful tools, I wonder how our lives would change.
Well, I'll tell you, whenever you're going through a stressful time in your life, it's very rare that you're going to have these awake dreaming experiences, right? And so when I've gone through stressful times in my life and I don't recall my dreams, I don't feel as connected to myself, to my purpose, you know, to my spiritual journey. It's like someone has flipped a switch and I don't like it. So it's a great reminder to really work on stress as much as we can throughout the day so that we can have these experiences at night. There's a beautiful legend that I read in a children's book for when my girls were little that I just love so much. And it's about how God, you know, was creating all these souls to come to earth. And he was telling them, you know, get ready, you're about to be born. And the little souls were like, we don't want to go, God, we're going to miss you. And he said, or she said, don't worry, every night when you go to sleep, you come home and we get to visit. And I just love that idea that every night when we're sleeping, we are reconnecting with not only our higher power, but also other people in our lives, people who have gone before us, people who are still coming. Because there's a little section in the book too called Announcing Dreams, where little new souls will announce to their future mom and dad that they're coming. And I think that's amazing. And so when you see the way it all connects, it makes you realize that anything is possible in our dream state if we go into our sleep with that awareness that we can have these experiences. Once you accept it, even if it's a little seed, like, I don't know about this chick and what she's saying, but some of her stories kind of resonated with me. That's a seed. And it's going to let your subconscious know it is safe to dream, it is okay to dream, and you can work with these experiences to be more cognizant while dreaming.
Yeah. I love that we're talking about this, because when I step back and I take a look at especially this particular part of my journey with the show and the network, I am forever grateful for Dr. Jean Houston. And it's not just Dr. Jean Houston, but getting to participate as a real novice, right? Because I'm telling you, when I started this, I didn't have a clue about what I was saying yes to or what the show would become. But I got really sick 6 months after starting this, and I didn't talk about it. But the trajectory and what I got interested in changed. And I met Jean, and I went to one of her events, and it was my first experience for what you're calling in the book, astral travel. And I love what you brought in from Carl Jung. And the quote is, I have wandered a long time through the world seeking those like you who sit upon a high tower on the lookout for things unseen. And I remember my first experience of a workshop with Jean. And it was like a lot of years ago, right? One of the first ones she'd ever done. Dr. Angela Sarian was there. Donna Eden was there. I mean, these were women that were so far ahead of their time, right? And I had no idea. And I remember one of the exercises where Jean had us go on a journey to meet our quantum partner, like another version of me in another world that was living out their lives, my life, in exactly the way I desired, to help me live it out in this life. And I didn't know it had a name. I didn't know it had astral travel. But what I did is I never forgot it, though, Samantha. I never forgot the experience, nor did I forget how powerful it was. And yet there are times I forget to use that. What can we say to folks here as we move forward to say the projection of astral or the astral body or astral travel or whatever you want to call it, lucid dreaming, all of these things have been provided to us for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why would they have been, why would we have this gift?
Why would we dream?
Right, why? And, you know, I mean, clearly not to replay Nightmare on Elm Street. But there's so much untapped power here. And isn't, see, I see that's your mission here in this book.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's wonderful ways that you can start to recall and remember your dreams. And remember, everybody dreams. We spend 1/3 of our life sleeping. And a good portion of that, the minute we hit REM state, we are dreaming. And so every night you're dreaming. If you wake up and you don't remember your dreams, it just means you're not working with them. So there are a lot of tips and techniques in the books for in the book for how to remember your dream. One of my favorite and easiest techniques is to simply set your alarm for an hour earlier than you have to wake up. So if you have to get up every day at 6 a.m. for work, set your alarm for 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. And when it goes off at 5 a.m., just turn it off, knowing it'll go off again at 6. And within that last hour where you're like kind of falling asleep, but not in that heavy sleep, you're going to remember your dreams much more clearly. Setting an intention to remember your dreams is really important. You can also just write a question down. If you have something you're worried about in your life, you can simply write a question down and tuck it underneath your pillow. The activity of writing it down kind of embeds it into your subconscious. And that's a really great way too. If you want to have a dream of a loved one, you want to talk about them more. You want to put pictures up around them. You want to ask them to come into your dreams. And you want to tell them, you have my permission to enter my dreams. And if that scares you, you can always say, you have my permission to enter a mutual friend's dreams. So then make sure he or she remembers, so they tell me. But there's a lot of different things you can do to start to work more specifically with your dream state.
You know, you even talk about it, and when you talk about confronting fears, and you talk about one of your biggest fears was coming out as a out of the psychic closet. Is that correct? Something that I get that language right. And so we don't often think about using our fears to help, using our dreams to overcome our fears. But yet here you're describing something that people may think, really, Samantha, this was her? Yeah. And you go on to talk about how you did that, because again, this is a way for us to have that confrontation or whatever you want to call it, and to come out the other side. I call it a knowing. I don't have another word for me. I just know that something happens, that I have a new knowing. And Jessica will tell you, I'll walk in here and their worst nightmare is when I walk in and I say to both Linda and Jessica, oh my gosh, I have a great idea. And it starts in the morning. So where did the idea, and I know where the idea came from, but I didn't blueprint it. You know right. How you wake up and you just know something. Now, the good news is I work with the triple Virgo and a Libra. And so the triple Virgo wants to know every detail of how I know. Now they know enough to just know I know. But I was struck by reading your book to realize it's coming from my dreams. Mm-hmm. Isn't that knowing, if you wake up with the knowing, and I don't know how to call it anything else, but if you wake up with the knowing you didn't have the day before, isn't that our dreams playing a part, whether it's conscious or subconscious in that?
Yes. And you might not even wake up with that knowing, right?
Yeah.
You might wake up with a song playing in your head, pay attention to that, Google the lyrics. You might wake up and go, wow, that book did not work at all. I remember nothing. And then you get in the shower, water's a conductor of energy, and you're like, oh, I have this great idea, and it answers my question I try to dream about. So you just never know when it's going to come, but if you trust that you can get answers in your dream, you can get guidance and insight in your dreams, it will come. It really, really will. I've taught this, I've talked about it, I've mentioned it on my podcast for years, and I get emails from listeners all the time. And sometimes they'll say, just listening to you talk about dreams made me remember my dreams, you know? So whatever your mind is focusing on, it's going to show up in your dreams.
Yeah.
So if you're if you're reading about dreams, it's going to show up in your dreams.
And, you know, part of this is you really kind of bring it back. And I'm glad you did this towards the end of the book. You talk about angels and guides, and they are so important, you know, for all of us. When I step back and, you know, I read your book once and, you know, you even quoted Echo Bodine. I think I interviewed Echo not too long ago here, maybe last week or something. So I'm always looking at synchronicities and signs. So here we are, interview Echo, interviewing you, talking about this. Linda sets it up, my producer, my best friend. We've been friends since 72, right? I think past lives. Sets it up at the perfect time for me to pay attention to something I realized I was not paying attention to. So if I'm not paying attention to the sign that Samantha Faye shows up on my show about a book, about something that I'm not paying attention to, that I have the power of, it's almost like messaging coming through multiple portals. And I also take that away from your book.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that, first of all, I love Echo, and her new book, How to Live a Happily Ever Afterlife, is fantastic.
My God.
But yeah, I think that our guides and our angels are constantly trying to work with us and bring us messages. And you know, sometimes I always fall asleep saying my prayers, and sometimes, actually a lot of times in my prayers, I just send them up thank yous for their patience.
Thank you.
It's very hard for us to sometimes recognize the signs and the subtle ways that they connect with us. Usually though, if you see something three times, so if something comes to you three times, whether it's in a dream or in a conversation or a book or an interview, it's usually repeated three times. And that's how you know, oh, this is a message. What I feel though is our guides, they're very patient, but they know we have some time here on Earth. And so if we don't get the sign the first time around, they'll just say, well, maybe they're not ready. And they'll kind of move on to the next thing. So it is important to pay attention to those signs and synchronicities. But yeah, there are people throughout the years who have had dreams of their guides, of talking to their angels, of walking with their angels, or just certain important insights and messages that can be incredibly inspiring and healing and comforting.
And I love that you mentioned that, because I'll tell you what, I'm aware of the power of three. Linda is obsessed with it. My best friend, Linda, and her mom was, but I don't think she understands what you just said. I'm going to make sure she's probably listening now, even to the point, like if we create a crystal arrangement, and I use crystals too in my dreams. And I know you do too, yeah. But she'll put things in threes. And if she comes to my house and she seems like two, she has to put a third thing in there. But see, these are interesting things to be aware of. And I think what you're doing for all of us is you're making us aware and giving us tools in this. So it's not just awareness, it's tools, it's meditation. But what you're saying is you don't have to be a best-selling author to do this. You don't have to have a podcast. This is something you could do. And I wanted to thank you for that, Samantha.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's something we can all do. It's something we do all do. And I think the more we're able to talk about it without that embarrassment, you know, you mentioned me coming out of the psychic closet. Sometimes I'm still embarrassed when I just bump into someone. What do you do for a living? You know, so I completely am still struggling with that. But yeah, my dreams did help me start to recognize that this was part of my purpose in this life. And so I slowly am getting more comfortable with that. But just talking about it, I think, is crucial. And yeah, Anyone can do this. And I think everyone does do this.
Thank you for today. Please, again, tell folks how they can find out more about you and what's your personal message. What do you want to leave us with today?
Well, thank you so much for having me on. And people can find me at SamanthaFay.com, or you can check me out on my podcast, Psychic Teachers or Enlightened Empaths, and you can find those anywhere you listen to podcasts. I think my main message is just that we are all awake dreamers. And the more that we start to work with our dreaming state, whether it's through what we're doing during the day or what we're intending to dream about during the night, we're going to connect with our spiritual journey in a much more potent, powerful way.
Thank you. I'll give your website one more time so people get it. They get right there.
SamanthaFay.com.
Thank you, Samantha, for everything. And for those of you out there, I'm just curious, when you go get the book and you go look at it, look at the cover. I wonder what dream you think of when you look at that cover of her book. Samantha, thank you so much for everything. Jacob, thank you so much. And to the best audience on the planet, have fun with your dreams. Really, have some fun. We'll see you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.